Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio, Hour 2, and we're working on getting Tommy Attaway on the line. But before we actually go there, I'd like to expand a little bit on what we were just closing out the hour with, talking about the media and so forth. This actually plays a lot into my story about the Republic of California. The gentleman that came out from the United States, and I don't know that he was a gentleman, his name was John Fremont, and he was tasked with the U.S. Army, I think he was, and he went out there to survey the land and to figure out, I don't know, how they're going to attack Mexico and where all the routes were, and kind of incite a revolution and to try to, you know, get all the settlers to get on board so they had more soldiers once they got there. And looking at what we're doing here today at the Republic of Texas radio show is, well, not really what Fremont was doing, but we're talking about the fact that we live in a very similar time to when Texas was part of Mexico, and Mexico's government went rogue. It went rogue on it. It asked them to come, help me build this nation, right, as I take it away from the natives. And then they said, go away because we don't like you anymore. And, well, that kind of, you know, I don't know. As emperors come, it's your duty, it's all of our duty to stop that. If that means that in your state you have to figure out a way to leave the United States, to change the United States, I think is a big, big ticket item that we're probably not going to get there. Oh, God. I'm rambling again, and I see we have Tommy on the line. Hey, Tommy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Okay, let's kick this off. Hey, Doc, what was all that hubbub about, you know, about a treaty? Because, you know, you mentioned that a little bit ago, and that's kind of, you know, how I talked to Tommy this week. Tell me about it. You start the show with that.
Well, yeah, I've been trying to get in touch with Tommy because the more I dug into this, what I could find was they attempted a treaty. And when it never got ratified, they came back and introduced it as a bill of annexation. And that's how they finally got the annexation through. But the treaty never got ratified, as near as I can figure when I look through this stuff. But very confusing. Texas never even sent its main people up there. There was an explosion aboard the, I think it was the USS Princeton.
Correct.
Sure, Tommy knows that, and that kind of messed up a few things. It killed the Secretary of the Navy. It killed a guy named Upshur that was up there representing Texas. But everything I can find, nothing says treaty ratified. It says treaty on the table, never got ratified in a couple places I found. And then it said they came back and tried to work it through as a bill, and that's what finally got the annexation. So I'm hoping Tommy can enlighten us, because after the last time we had him on, we had a ton of questions, but I couldn't find all the answers.
Okay. Well, let me roll back, and we'll go back to the USS Princeton. Abel Upshur was the Secretary of State and was responsible for negotiating the Treaty of Annexation with Texas. And because the president was very favorable and wanted Texas in, the treaty had very favorable terms toward Texas. And the treaty was rejected by the U.S. Senate by a 2-1 vote, because it was considered to be too favorable toward Texas.
Okay. Which president was that?
That would be John Tyler.
John Taylor? Oh, okay. Tyler, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tyler. Because the president that was elected, William Henry Harrison, died after about 30 days in office, and Tyler was the vice president and became the president, to everybody's surprise, because nobody liked him.
Mm-hmm. So how did Texas get into the United States? What was that process? I thought that...
So here's the deal. 3 weeks after the treaty was rejected, it then hit the papers that Texas and Great Britain had been negotiating an alliance. And Great Britain would guarantee Texas independence against any actions against either Mexico or anybody else.
Do you know that's true? Was Texas in negotiations with Great Britain? Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because what was one of the issues in the Republic of Texas is that Texas was bankrupting itself, having to defend itself against incursions from Mexico. Some things never change.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I'm sorry to segue that. So,
the idea was that an alliance between Texas and Great Britain would turn the Mexicans off of trying to recapture Texas, and Mexico would then spend its time repaying all of the money it owed Great Britain. So that's why the British were interested in that.
Okay, then Texas would be able to give money back, huh?
Well, then Texas could start worrying about doing business rather than having to defend itself against Mexico. So that was what was in it for both Texas and Great Britain. The reason why this got the United States excited was because the boundary between Canada and the United States had not been set yet. And so the United States was now afraid that Great Britain would recognize the Texas claims of its northern border, and Texas would recognize the claim of Great Britain to the border of Texas, and that would cut the United States off from the Pacific and the Oregon Territory.
That would be
California.
The Alto California stuff, right?
Country with three. Yeah, okay. I see now.
Yeah. So that's why the United States then got excited about Texas and wanted Texas in the Union, or at least Tyler did, because he didn't want the United States to be cut off from the Pacific Ocean.
Now, Tommy, one of the things that I stumbled across, and it looked like it was pretty accurate, was it said a stumbling block in the beginning was the United States would not guarantee military protection, and they said that Sam Houston and Jones wrote back and said, we'd rather be independent under British protection than part of the United States and not have military protection. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were some secret protocols back and forth as part of the treaty, but the military part was never part of the treaty. But, of course, if Texas becomes a state, well, then constitutionally the United States has to guarantee every state against invasion. And so that's what the U.S. position was, that they wouldn't be a specific explicit guarantee for protection against Mexico. But, again, Texas was okay with the treaty. But the United States wasn't. The abolitionists were very much against it. Others were against it because part of the original treaty was that the United States government would pay $6.5 million to retire the debt of the Republic of Texas. And, you know, some guys didn't want to spend the money. But anyway, all kinds of issues. So the treaty didn't go. But what happens now is that after it comes out that Texas and Great Britain might form an alliance, John Tyler and his new Secretary of State, which is Calhoun. Yes, that Calhoun of nullification fame. And they determined that they were going to get Texas into the Union no matter what, and Calhoun's motto was, Texas or disunion. And so now it gets interesting because you have, instead of a treaty, which had failed the Senate, there's now called a joint resolution of Congress, which is to allow Texas to join the United States as a state if Texas does three things. The people of Texas would have to vote to join the United States. Texas would have to have a convention in order to write a state constitution that would have to be approved by the people. And Texas would have to essentially give all of its military equipment and goods to the United States. In exchange, Texas would have the right to form five states. Any state north of the Missouri Compromise line that would be formed new would have to be a free state. And basically, that was kind of the deal.
So that's U.S. politics, right?
And that's U.S. politics.
But as we're talking Texas politics, we had Anson Jones was the president at the time. And what was Congress doing in Texas? Were they all about, you know, joining the United States? Or how's that? I mean, if they signed a treaty, did they sign a treaty, legally binding treaty? In Texas
like
politics?
Said, there was no treaty because the treaty was ratified by the Republic of Texas, but not by the United States.
Okay. There was an attempt to make a treaty that was shot down.
Yes, shot down.
Okay. So John Tyler and what was the Secretary of State's name again?
John Calhoun.
John Calhoun. They decided that they were going to do a different way. What is this different way, and how did that happen? And is that, legal
waffle? The Constitution is kind of silent as to how a new state can be admitted to the United States. It just says new states may be admitted. So they decided to work around a treaty by doing a joint resolution of Congress. It easily passed the House.
Uh-huh.
Then it was tied in the Senate.
Okay, a tie, huh? And in the Senate, that means that the...
That means that normally the vice president would vote and break the tie, but because the vice presidency was vacant, because in those days, whenever the vice president became president, the office of vice president remained vacant. So now the joint resolution was blocked in the Senate, and so the arm twisting went on in order to have Senator Johnson of Louisiana change his vote from no to yes.
Okay, so then they went for a revote.
That's how the story of Texas becomes admitted to the United States by one vote.
That was what, 1845?
1845. And, of course, one of the things is you've got to remember the president leaves office in March, and so this was done the week before Tyler leaves office. And so he's now a success because he gets Texas into the Union, because in U.S. politics, Tyler did not get renominated to run for president. Henry Clay sideswiped him and took the nomination, and he was opposed to Texas entering the United States.
Yeah,
so the Whig Party actually hosed its own president, and so in retaliation, Tyler got Texas into the United States.
Okay.
So Texas was big in U.S. politics. It was a big theme all throughout the 1844 presidential election.
Yeah, it seems to be big no matter how you look at it. You know,
yeah.
Doc, anything?
Well, what I'm just wondering back then is how many Texas voters, because like Alan said, word didn't get around very easy. And I'm wondering how many Texas voters actually voted in this deal. And I saw a very, very old black and white movie. It must have been 30s or 40s. And it showed Sam Houston and his Secretary of State at that time talking about rejecting the United States' first offer and then coming back with their list of demands that would benefit both of them and then accepting it, and they would be able to get the people to go along. And I always wondered, because that was a pretty old movie, if the people that made that movie weren't talking about some true history that they knew about. Do you know anything about that, Tommy?
I think that's more Hollywoodized, because throughout 1836 to 1840, the United States was the one that didn't want Texas in the Union, because the president was Martin Van Buren, who became the political protege and successor to Andrew Jackson after Sam Houston left the United States. And Van Buren and Houston were political rivals in the Democratic Party. And so Van Buren wanted to keep Sam Houston out of the United States.
Hey, Tommy, about that vote, I've heard tell that there were two votes for in Texas to join the Republic of the United States of America, and the first one failed, and the second one actually passed. Right? Is that true? Have you ever heard that?
No, there was a referendum that had three items on the ballot. Item number one was should Texas join the United States, and that passed by about 95%. It was about 9,300 votes to about 500 votes. The second item was to accept the Constitution for the state of Texas, and that passed by about 90%. And then the third item was what to do with the public lands, and that item passed as well, and that was kind of a deal up to where Texas would sell public lands in order to retire debt of the Republic of Texas, but that really never happened, and the state of Texas assumed the debt of the Republic of Texas and was really never able to pay it off, which is why we got the deal in 1850 that results in the current borders for $10 million.
Really? Expand on that. What do you mean? Is that
right,
the state of Texas?
The provision of the joint resolution was that the state of Texas would assume the debts of the Republic of Texas. And so when Texas became a state, it still was cash poor because, again, what we've got is Texas is a very agricultural-based economy, and, you know, people just didn't have wads of cash. You know, people did barter, they did trade. That was, you know, how the economy worked. And right. So the state of Texas was really never able to generate a really big income, and it still had about $6.5 million of bonds that it needed to pay off from the Republic of Texas days. So there's the Compromise of 1850, again, which is, you know, one of the other ongoing slavery issues inside the United States. And the deal was is that if you notice the current northern boundary of the state of Texas is at the Missouri Compromise line. And the Missouri Compromise line was the line above which and below which slavery was either permitted or not permitted. So in order to make sure that there was no possibility that slave territory in Texas could expand north of the Missouri Compromise line and capital of New Mexico territory, Santa Fe, happened to be inside the borders of that Texas claimed. The deal was that for $10 million, the U.S. would buy that land, and the current border of the state of Texas was established, and that let the state of Texas retire all of the debt of the Republic of Texas. And they ended up with a little bit of cash left over, which was in U.S. Treasury bonds, which, interestingly enough, is the source of the case of White versus Texas and the so-called secession is illegal Supreme Court ruling, which actually says no such thing.
I didn't understand that. What are you talking about?
Okay. The $10 million payment that the United States made to the state of Texas.
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay.
For land.
For land. That let Texas pay off the $6.5-7 million worth of Republic of Texas debt. And
okay,
end up with
that.
About $3 million left over that were in U.S. Treasury bonds.
Okay.
Those U.S. Treasury bonds were still sitting around in 1861 when Texas seceded.
Uh-huh.
And so when Texas seceded from the United States, it's like, why do we want U.S. Treasury bonds, right? Get rid of those suckers.
Uh-huh.
And the Confederate government sold them. Confederate government of Texas sold them. And that led to a Supreme Court case after the war.
And what was that case? I guess don't understand why that
White
was
versus
a case.
Texas, and the case was is that the Confederate government of Texas was illegal and couldn't sell the treasury bonds, so the guy that bought them would have to refund the money to the Reconstruction U.S. government of Texas.
Huh. That's
and the Supreme Court said, well, yeah, they've got to refund it, but the reason is because the Confederate government of Texas sold the bonds before the people voted on the referendum to secede. And so the implication of that Supreme Court case is that as long as the people vote to secede, secession is legal.
Yeah, I kind of get that. That's an interesting little tidbit. Hey, Alan, you were trying to jump in. What do you got?
All these things are interrelated, and, you know, in schools and stuff, they just tend to stovepipe these things. And, you know, so that kind of leaves you with a lot of loose threads that never get answered.
Oh, I hear that. We're going to try to patch those up. Let me jump to Alan real quick.
I was just going to say that. In other words, Texas was asset rich but cash poor.
Yeah.
That's the music, Tommy. We'll be right back. We got a short segment coming up, but we got a lot to talk about. Republic of Texas Radio. Hang in, folks.
As As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back. Hey, today we've got Tommy Attaway. Tommy Attaway is an executive director Freedom Texas. That's ridiculous. I can't remember that. But they're very important folks. They want to see Texas independent again. Hey, Tommy, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Freedom Texas real quick? We have a short segment. We've got about 4 minutes or 5 minutes, something like that. So tell us about Freedom Texas.
What we're about is that we are trying to work a very serious transition plan from Texas as a state to Texas as a republic, and we're trying to identify all of the things that need to be addressed in order to make that transition and have a blueprint that we can put out there for people to work from and say, yeah, we like that or we don't like that, but we want to make sure that we have all of the issues identified so this transition can be made as smoothly as possible with the minimum amount of disruption to the lives of the people of Texas. And when we get there, things will be so much better.
I know. There's a lot of things that'll need to happen, and we're kind of doing the precursor stuff. And I know we're talking a lot about history today, but folks, you got to understand that we're living in history. This broadcast is all about history. The wonderful folks at Freedom Texas, Republic of Texas, Texas Nationals, that are trying to achieve well, a more polite system of governance, right? Return to a republic, and not do this whole federal tops down thing. This is history, and as we move forward, like you were just saying about Freedom Texas, we have to identify some of the things. We also need to reach out and tap everybody on the shoulder, saying, "Hey, you know, this is happening." You know, Tommy, I do electronics work, and I get calls from all sorts of strange people all over the place. They're not all strange, but I pulled into this RV park this last week, and I saw a wonderful license plate frame. It said, the Republic of Texas, and I'm kind of like going, ha, nice. And I walked over to the guy's door, and, you know, he opened the door, and he had a three percenters hat on. And I said, I really like your license plate frame. Do you follow Texas independence? He says, no, but I think Texas should secede. And I said, well, you need to look at Freedom Texas. You need to look at the Republic of Texas, the Texas Nationals. You need to listen to the show. There's a lot of things, and you need to understand that you're not alone in this. And, you know, Freedom Texas is really reaching out. You know, how can people get involved with Freedom Texas?
Easiest way is through our website, which, of course, is www.freedomtexas.org. And we'll then get you in touch with the folks we've got in your county and take it from there. And, you know, what we're really trying to do is to get enough of a push on the current state legislature in order to get them to understand that, you know, their idea of, well, we can sue the federal government in federal court, and that's going to get us somewhere, is just laughing at the trends of history. The trends of history show us, you know, directly the opposite, that the legal process is simply not going to work, and it's going to have to be the will of the people, and it is going to have to be an unequivocal statement that we demand to get out of this mess that you guys have created.
Right. I know. So it's a big old educational thing to let the people of Texas know there's another way. And then that people are thinking about, because I know the Republic of Texas, they have a side work group that's kind of trying to address a lot of the points that you over at Freedom Texas are trying to address. You know, the how do we transition? How do we do the transition? And that's what a lot of people like think about. But if you're not doing
there's
anything,
a lot of natural overlap there. You know, I think we're all agreed that we need a sound money system. You know, this printing funny money stuff, just, you know, that is the how politicians steal the wealth of the people.
Oh, definitely. You know, I was trying to say, if you're out there, if you're in Texas and you're not involved with one of these groups, organizations, however you want to call them, why not? Because it does take you. I met one of your people, Brenda Vaughn, and
yes.
My God, what an asset you have in that person. She is.
Yeah, she's our county director for Wise County.
Uh-huh. And, you know, she does an awful lot. She spends time running newspaper articles, not articles. She promotes the events in the newspaper. She prints up flyers. She drives all over the place to try to tell people that Texas should be free. Hey, I'm hearing the music. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back with Tommy Attaway, Freedom Texas, Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? a medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science, then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Okay, we're back. You know, today we were spending a lot of time in the 1800s, specifically somewhere around 1845 and 1846, and we are bouncing into current day stuff, and I'm going to drag Tommy down, well, back to the beginning here in a second. But there's a question out there in the chat room about, well, there's $10 million to, we gave up a bunch of Texas, right, to pay off the outstanding debt. What's that, $6.5 million debt? And then we got the leftover $3.5. What was the deal with the $3.5 million? We just thought that the amount of land they wanted was worth more than $6.5, something like that?
Kind of how the deal worked out, is that in order to give up all of that territory, you're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
And, of course, the thing was, a lot of the abolitionists in Congress who were on the ascendancy were basically willing to pay because they knew that the southern states paid for the federal government anyway.
Who had that debt, that $6.5 million? That was initially the English had that, right?
It was actually ended up being sold to a lot of bankers in Baltimore. And so one of the reasons why the treaty with Texas failed is that the U.S. government was going to directly pay the bankers the Republic of Texas bond. And
bankers.
You know that. Oh yeah, well, you know, bankers are always involved. You know that.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't want to distract from that. Please continue.
Yeah. So, you know, the people that were loaning money is that East Coast bankers are loaning money to the Republic of Texas. Great Britain and France were loaning money to Mexico. And the British and the French were especially annoyed that Mexico was using that money to try and retake Texas rather than develop their own cotton industry, because the British and also the French were looking for an alternative from buying southern cotton from the United States. And they were hoping at first Mexico would pick up on the deal. And then after Mexico got stupid, they said, you know, I bet the Texans are smart enough to go for this. And that really kind of led to one of the reasons for negotiating the alliance with Great Britain, is that the idea is that Texas cotton, grown cotton, would be cheaper than the cotton that they could get from the United States because the tariffs would be lower.
Okay, so that whole land deal in 1850 where Texas sells a bunch of property to the U.S. and the U.S. pays off a $6.5 million debt that the bankers on the East Coast had, and then gives them the other $3.5 million in treasury bonds, right?
Promissory notes. Right, the state of Texas. Yeah.
Okay. I'm learning stuff. That's great. Hey, I wanted to ask you, last night I was talking to somebody and he told me that I need to look at who Davy Crockett is. Who is Davy Crockett, Tommy?
One of the interesting characters. Obviously, as we know, he was a congressman from Tennessee. And, you know, he was one of the guys who was very good at manipulating his image. And so he gave the image of being, you know, some country backwoodsman, frontier kind of guy, when really, for the time, he was very well educated and very articulate. You know, but he was one of the guys who, along with Martin Van Buren, understood the importance of manipulating his public image for office and for personal advancement. And so, you know, after he loses a congressional election, and of course one of the charges is he got too cozy with the people in Washington and was ignoring the people back home. Then, of course, you get the famous line, "You all can go to hell, I'm going to Texas."
Yeah, and he even manipulated that, if that's the truth of the matter. Did he write his own song? Or did he have faith somebody to write the song about Davy Crockett? I don't know. That's a direction I didn't really
probably
think I was going.
Probably had somebody do it for him. And like I say, you know, he was a very slick character in those terms. But, you know, he's also very, very skilled and, you know, a good marksman. And you know, a lot of that, the myth, is based in fact. But, you know, he recognized the importance of enhancing the legend and, you know, that how that would be of advantage to him. And, of course, like most of the guys coming to Texas 1835, 1836, during the Revolution, you know, they realized that if successful, you know, there's going to be a great deal of land become available, and for the most part of the history of the United States, especially in the southern states, land equals wealth.
Right. It was all about land. You know, and he, you know, he passed away at the Alamo, right?
Correct. Again, you know, one of the heroes of the Alamo. There's a couple of stories as to how he actually dies. One, of course, is, you know, bravely defending, you know, at the gap between the chapel and the wall. One of the more credible stories is that Crockett is severely wounded and is unable to continue fighting, but, you know, does not surrender. You know, he's actually captured. You know, he's unable to fight. You know, he's incapacitated, totally incapacitated, basically mortally wounded, and then is executed by the Mexicans. You know, whichever story happens to be true, you know, the fact is he fought bravely and died a hero's death.
Wow. Doc, anything?
Well, yeah. One of the things, Tommy, that I love about history today that I hated when I was in school, because they tell a very slanted story when you're in school, is it seems like for a lot of years after the Alamo, that the historians that wrote the stories wanted to drive a wedge between anybody that was a native Texan and the outside. And when I looked at the Alamo and a list of the people that died there and defended Texas and helped it get its independence, there was a lot more people from other places than there were Texas. I saw every state and territory in the Americas. I saw Ireland and Denmark and Scotland and England and Germany, every place imaginable, but they didn't tell that story. And so they had people thinking, well, if you're not a native Texan, you're not anything. But the truth was, there wouldn't be any native Texans if it hadn't been for people all over the world that came to join that fight. And that's just at the Alamo where I read all these names. Have you looked at any of that?
Yeah, the fact is that if we go back to October 1835 in Gonzales, the male Anglo population of Texas is around 1,000 people. You know, it's very small. So when you go through the rolls of people that we know or have good reason to believe fought in the Texas Revolution on the side of Texas, you have about 10% would be Anglo-Texans, another 10% would be Tejanos, meaning 10 to 15%, meaning, you know, the Spanish native Mexicans who fought for Texas independence, and about 75 to 80% actually came from the United States. So the vast majority of the people fighting for Texas independence had never set foot in Texas prior to the Revolution.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was very interesting, there was a group called the Gonzales Mounted Ranger Company, and most of them weren't from Texas, which blew my mind. I thought for sure that would have been all Texas, but I saw guys in there in that Gonzales Ranger Company from Ireland, Tennessee, all over the place.
Yeah, the best historical research I've seen says that about 20% of the revolutionaries had lived in Texas prior to the Revolution. 80% came from outside.
Yeah, see, this is why I think it's so important that we have shows like this and bring people like you on to tell the history, because it seemed like they tried to stir up trouble and separate people. But when things hit the fan, people came from everywhere to help Texas, or it wouldn't even be today the way it is.
Well, part of it was the political story at the time, because the Mexicans in Santa Ana, of course, accused the United States of instigating the whole Texas Revolution. And so the amount of aid and number of people coming in from the United States was kept as quiet as possible in order to try and negate or deny that allegation that the United States was instigating the Texas Revolution.
Well, and maybe that was true.
It's totally native. Yeah, it was totally native in start. But actually, Jackson, who was president at the time, gave every assistance he could to his friend Sam Houston.
That's what I thought.
Military equipment was being shipped to Texas. One of the first covert operations of the U.S. Army took place at San Jacinto, where two companies of U.S. Army regulars spearheaded the attack at San Jacinto.
Okay, yeah, that's really curious. Now, but I think what Santa Ana was saying was probably true, right? You know, Jackson.
No, it's certainly true in the terms of, we have certain expectations of what good government consists of.
Mm-hmm.
And those expectations were certainly very different than Santa Anna's idea of good government.
Right. He was a dictator, whatever, emperor, I don't know. But he also promised something.
Another theme that runs throughout Mexican history and is ignored these days is the Rio Grande Republic from 1840 to 1842, when northern states in Mexico tried to break off from Mexico and form the Rio Grande Republic, and actually they wanted to have Laredo, Texas as its capital.
Wow, dude, we so need to go there. I need to do something on Mexico because, you know, dealing with Alto California or the Republic of California today, dealing with the Texas Republic. You even told us about Fredonia, I think it was. Is that correct?
Yeah, the first attempt by Americans to create a independent Texas is called the Fredonian Republic.
Man, that's crazy. Hey, let's go to a caller. I guess we have somebody on the line. Hang in there, Tommy. Let's see what Joe has to say. Hey, Joe, are you out there?
Yes, I am, and I'm really enjoying everybody this morning. I just love the history, and I'm learning a lot more. I just wanted to throw a little bit more information in there. I had read a book a few years ago, and I was just scrambling, looking for it to give you the author's name. And your guest, who's been telling the history, may know about this book. It's called The Duel of Eagles, and it's about the war, what led up to the war between Mexico and the United States. But it's very well documented, but about the issue of Davy Crockett. And I kind of liked this story. It talked about how Dave, like your guest had said, he was wounded, and the officers took him to Santa Ana, and they wanted to spare his life. They knew who he was, and they told Santa Ana, "Look, he's a very famous person. He was the equivalent of a celebrity," and I was just really impressed at. And he said he got the information; it was documented from a lot. He read a lot of diaries from the officers of the Mexican Army. He spoke Spanish fluently, and he went into the research archives. And you know, he's kind of like a David Irving in a way. You did original research, and I kind of believe a lot of it. I was wondering if the guest was familiar with that story, but unfortunately, Santa Ana was so stubborn, he said no, and who knows how he felt. He probably felt resentful that his officers, you know, recognized someone who wanted his life spared, and he had him bayoneted, just like your guest said. He deliberately had told those officers, "I want him bayoneted," and that kind of led to the revenge, probably, that occurred later on when the Spaniards lost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in fact,
thank you so much. You know what? I just wanted to tell you, you know, I know sometimes history, you might be thinking, oh my gosh, we're, you know, bringing up history, but I love it. I just love it. And repetition is very important because the more you guys bring up the history and you have these guests on, like the one you have on, it solidifies more the knowledge base that I have about that period of time. And I'm able to work with my kids in school better, talk to them about it, because they don't teach about the Alamo in school anymore. So, as part of their project, like I mentioned in the past, I have them. They have done works on the Alamo and that whole history, and this adds to it. I just really am enjoying today. I don't want to keep you, but thank you so much. You have a great guest. I hope you come back. Bye bye.
Thanks, Joe. Tommy, to you. What are your thoughts?
An excellent book, highly recommended, and you know, my personal view is that it's probably the closest to the truth we're going to get on how Crockett died. And one of the things that you'll see as a recurring theme, not only at the Alamo, but also especially at Goliad, is a lot of the Mexican officers have the Spanish heritage in them, and they considered themselves to be professional military men. And the idea of once they had given their word to prisoners that they would be treated honorably, that Santa Ana would then have them executed, really annoyed them. But given the state of politics in Mexico, you couldn't cross Santa Ana.
Yeah, that sucks. Hey, the Alamo, when we look at that, you know, that's a battle cry for Texas independence. Remember the Alamo. I heard they were told to withdraw from that position, and they did not. Is that true, untrue?
There's a lot of things going on. The order from Houston to Travis is to hold as long as possible. The expectation was that the Alamo was going to be reinforced, either by Fannin or by other troops. And there was actually an order given, I think by General Rusk, but my memory is starting to go, that gave permission for Travis to withdraw from the Alamo, but by the time the order got there, it was too late. You know, he's already surrounded and cut off. So he had no choice.
man, history. It's got so many rabbit trails that come up negative. It's kind of strange. And who do you believe? Like you were talking about that one book that they assembled through reading a whole bunch of diaries. That's pretty good history. You know, I was reading this one book I got from President John Jarnicky of the Republic of Texas. It was called, Louisiana and... oh, God, I forgot the name of the dang book. I'm going to have to go back and get it, and I'll have to get that book to you, John, because I know I borrowed it a while ago. Anyways, anything else, Tommy?
Well, I was just going to mention that one of the things, Fanon gets a very bad rap in history. One of the things Fanon was, he had overthought what he needed to do. And so what he thought he was doing at Goliad was protecting the coast against invasion, but of course the armies had already come overland. And so part of Fanon's hesitancy is, okay, should I go to the Alamo and leave the coast unprotected, or do I stay at Goliad and protect the coast, or what do I do? And because he really couldn't make a decision when a decision had to be made, it was fatal for him and his men.
That's the music. We'll be right back, folks. We got Tommy Attaway of Freedom, Texas on the line. We'll close it out. Be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
IRA and 401k account holders, are you crossing your fingers for the stock market to continue its bull run, or hoping for a miracle to pay off our $19 trillion national debt? American Bullion wants you to think for a moment. If we go through another significant stock market correction and things begin to unravel, you could suffer some serious losses. On the other hand, gold is a proven long-term asset that could hedge and protect your retirement accounts from getting washed away. Call American Bullion now and let them show you how easy is to transfer your existing IRA or roll over your 401k into a gold IRA. American Bullion has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and is a leader in gold IRAs. With just one call, their experts can explain everything there is to know and get you started with a free gold IRA guide. Call 1-800-545-2525. Save your retirement. Call American Bullion now at 1-800-545-2525. That's 1-800-545-2525.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org 800-326-2001.
Texas Independence. Yes. Texas Independence. I thought I was on mute, but well, whatever. Hey, Texas Independence is real. It's happening today. If you don't know about it, well, learn about it. FreedomTexas.org. Check them out for sure. You can also go to thetexasrepublic.com or TexasNationalist@texnat.org or the TNM. I can't remember that one. Anyways, hey, Doc, to you real quick. We got a short segment.
Yeah, Tommy, two quick things. One, where can we send people to get some of the reference material for the things we've talked about today? Because last time they called and I didn't know where to send them. And I'm not much on Google because Google can be altered and corrupted. And also on Freedom Texas, you mentioned that you're working on the transition process. But could you please tell everybody in the audience what path, if they come and hook up with you guys, that you're trying to take to help get us to that point where Texas is independent?
Well, we are agnostic when it comes to the path taken. We're okay if the state of Texas sponsors a referendum for secession. We're okay. We're fine if Republic of Texas wins in the world court. You know, we're fine if, you know, Texas Nationalists somehow gets it there with their program. You know, we just want Texas independence. And once we get there, then we'll sort out, okay, how we're going to take care of business. But the first thing we got to do is we got to hit the exit door.
Sounds great. And how about where can we send them to find out the history information? Because a lot of people love this.
Most of the stuff that I've spoken about comes from three sources. The Texas State Library and Archives, that has a lot of the returns, election returns, copies of the treaties and the negotiations. The congressional record has, of course, the Senate vote and the debate on the treaty and also the House joint resolution. And the third place, believe it or not, is the University of North Texas Library, where they have archives of the major paper during the days of the Republic of Texas called the Texas Telegraph and Register, which was published in Houston. And so whenever the newspaper accounts and the accounts in the public records match, then I say, okay, they're probably good.
How many years have you been studying this, Tommy?
Well,
there's a lot of material to cover.
I've only really concentrated on Texas for the last couple of years because of my work with Freedom Texas and the independence movement. I'm really an 18th century and U.S. military history guy.
Okay.
But, you know, like I say, all of these things are interrelated to some degree. And, of course, Texas is very much entwined in U.S. military history from the days of the Texas Revolution, you know, to the present. And so you can't ignore Texas. It's just too important.
It is. And, hey, we're going to have to bring you back. I think I might have found the person that I wanted to tell the story about, the Aztec, the Spanish, and the Mexican government. It sounds like you know that whole time frame a lot better than most people. You'd be interested in coming in and talking about Spain and the Aztecs and the Mexicans?
I really would need to research that because I only have a very cursory education on that. I'm more of a European Western civilization kind of guy, and you know, I obviously am kind of more sympathetic to the Spanish because when you start cutting people's heads off and using them for footballs as the Aztecs did, well, you know, that's just like not my kind of civilization.
It's definitely food for thought, but I thought they also did the Inquisition, you know.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, man, out of the frying pan and into the, well, whatever. Hey, Tommy Attaway, Freedom Texas, thank you very much for coming on. We'll bring you back on soon. I know my audience really likes it. Hey, Republic of Texas Radio.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.